You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Andy Holdings Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
To the William Hill Irish Racing Preview, Alex Dunn and Andy Holding here to look ahead to Fairy House's card on Sunday. It's the last jumps racing that we'll see for a couple of days, really, because Air is off domestically on Monday. Of course, on Sunday, we've already lost Foss Last. Tremor is off as well. I think we've got Ludlow and Fakenham holding hopes for those on Tuesday. But it's a strong card at Fairy House. Some good action to get our teeth stuck into. Some competitive racing as well. Plenty of runners. So a few each way bets as well, perhaps. But some good stuff. Hopefully we can have a winner or two for you. I'm Alex Dunn and this is Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
Everything all right?
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Usual traditional walk with the dog on a Sunday. Has been overcome. Mm-hmm. And, it's given how saturated the ground is, it's a surprise that Fairy House has got by. But certainly no great shakes to see, as you mentioned, quite a few of the other domestic jump cards fall by the wayside.
Yeah, dreadful weather of late.
Terrible. And,
you can't really... Well, there's nothing anyone can do, is there? Just hope that it doesn't get any worse, anyway.
No.
The going is heavy at Fairy House, if people hadn't guessed already. And it will be pretty stamina-sapping today, won't it?
Yeah, no doubt, yeah. But to be fair, a lot of these horses in Ireland are used to running on it. And just by the ground, yes, it punches down. Yeah, it wasn't too bad, actually. You know, they were... It wasn't unedifying stuff. There's one or two close finishes. They weren't strung out. There was no 20, 30 length jobs like we've been seeing over here. We get one or two little clues here then everywhere. Not necessarily some of the bigger names that we're used to seeing, but a lot of collateral form involving horses that have posted good numbers for the festival, i.e. Tokaruro is just an example in the first, who was called 4-2 Ivanich Gorbachev. So those that have backed... I know Brian's charged to win the Triumph, and many have. They'll be wanting a good run from Gordon Elliott's mare in the first, or filly.
Okay. Right, well, we'll start with that first race. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, and the market has it between three here, Andy. Tokaruro, who you've already mentioned, Swamp Fox, who perhaps is aptly named given conditions, and Cradle Mountain, who makes his hurdling debut for Aidan O'Brien. 25-1 bar those three. Is it between those three, Andy?
Looks that way, doesn't it? Yeah, barring miracles. I actually fancy Tokaruro because of that aforementioned 4-9, the fourth behind the best juvenile seen either side of the Irish Sea so far in the shape of Ivanich Gorbachev, who lowered the colours of a good highly regarded William Mullins charge called Let's Dance, who was due to take its chance in the Grade 1 at Chepstow yesterday but didn't make the gig. And although this horse has beaten upwards of 12, 13 lengths, it wasn't a bad effort by this filly on her second start under rules. She jumped well, she travelled all right through the race, but she just couldn't quite go with the front two when they quickened away. And she stayed and threw minimal pressure in the back end to finish and never near a fourth. I certainly think her position could have been slightly more prominent had she been ridden in that fashion. But it wasn't a bad effort all the same. It certainly sets the standard anyway on what these have done so far. I mean, Swamp Fox... Albeit, I do really like this horse. I tipped him first time up when he made his debut, and he didn't run too badly in third. But the form of that race is way, way below the standard of what Tokaruro's done. So unless he improves significantly, which of course he could do, the one thing he does do is he stay well and he goes on the ground. But I'm not sure whether he's quite good enough to beat the filly with all the allowances. Cradle Mountain, useful horse on the flat, of course, with Aidan O'Brien, and of course having trained Ivan if it's going up chopped to win first time up. Certainly got to be respectful of this horse, but experience and lack of match practice and the ground, the combination of those factors might just count against this horse today on debut. So Tokaruro, with that fourth behind Ivanich Gorbachev, certainly the key form line here, hopefully she can boost that the chances of Aidan O'Brien's charge in the Triumph.
Okay, Tokaroro the pick in the 12.50. The 120 is next up. It's a mare's maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. And there could be some quite nice types here, Andy. Again, the market has it between 4 of them. Mystique Heads Affairs, at the time of recording, around about the 6-4 mark. A mare that we know goes in the ground. But there could be some smart types coming up against her here. The likes of Billy Billy, Comrade Trix as well. It's not the worst mare's maiden hurdle that we've ever seen here.
No, not at all. Not a bad little race, this. Mystique's certainly got every chance here, hasn't she? She's been beaten at short prices in the last 2 starts, but there hasn't been anything wrong with her attitude. She's just been a bit unfortunate, really, not to get the job done. But she's up against a potentially useful mare in the shape of Billy Billy here, who's a fun point-to-point winner, so that gives you hope that she can jump cleanly and has all the requisite tools to win a race of this nature. And she certainly looked good the last time we saw her at Carlisle on that ground similar to this, where she powered her way through the race and quickened away quite smartly in the latter stages. What she beat, of course, is open to question. But as none of these have done any fantastic speed figures on my numbers, it'll just be about up the horse who copes to the ground the best for me here, and maybe Billy Billy is the one to do just that. We've got Comoratrix and Cillian as well also making it. Quite an interesting little race, as you say, for mares. But I'll go with that Billy Billy, who, like I say, looked good the last day.
Billy Billy the pick then in the 120. Next up is the 150. It's a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Plenty of runners here, Andy. And on first glance, you'd say it's pretty competitive, but a lot of these are struggling for any kind of recent form. One that isn't is Shanak for the Mullins team. This time, Anthony Mullins. Danny Mullins takes the ride. Again, there are a few dangers, the likes of Coolbane West and Court Challenge, but not the strongest race that we'll see on this card, Andy, or any other Fairy House card.
No, this is really weak. I mean, not many of these have posted winning efforts of late, so we are a little bit thin on the ground with recent up-to-date form. So you've got to go with something that you would like to think is mildly progressive and capable of doing better than what it's already shown. And that horse is definitely Shanak. I think the market has got it about right, putting this horse in around about the 5-2 mark, which in theory looks a little bit skinny given the complexities and the wide-open nature of the race. But that run last time out at the Leopardstown Christmas Festival certainly suggests that he's very much on the upgrade when he chased home the nice horse of Narmid called Ice Cold Soul. And it was interesting that the pair of them pulled well clear of a horse I fancied on the day called Tongi. Now, although Tongi's no world beater, you know, he did actually run in the Grade 2 yesterday at Punchestown, albeit absolutely lapped by the best novice we've seen so far this season in the shape of Min. So that's a kind of standard of race we were dealing with. And there was well one or two other fancied horses in that race as well. It gives it a bit of substance, the likes of Sinatra Gray and, of course, Dollar in a Dream, who finished only 7th in that race, having finished 4th at Cheltenham the time before and behind one of Ben Paulin's in the shape of A Hair Breath. So collectively and collaterally, that form stands out. And with just normal improvement here, I think Shanak is going to take quite a bit of beating here in this 150.
Shanak's a pick there. The 220 is next up. It is a Grade A handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. It's a really good race, this, Andy. There's plenty that you could give chances to again. Gigginstown have got a pretty strong hand. They've got 3 in the race. But again, there's plenty of old favourites in here and plenty that you could give chances to.
Yes, definitely. To be honest, when I looked at this race last night and again this morning, I kept coming back to the same horse, and it's very much in accordance to how Tom Segal's seen this race. He's basically keeping it quite simple. He's looking at that race that Neely Narmid won here back on the 28th of November over course and distance and thinking, well, why can't he repeat that to performance? I think a lot of people have scoffed at that victory, being as he was afforded a one-shot, but the annals of time have told us that it wasn't a bad race at all, not only visually but on the figures, and those in behind have only gone on to boost that form line even further. The second, of course, Minilev Farou, albeit he was running over a trick way too short of his best, went on to win the Paddy Power Chase on his next start at Leopardstown, of course. And back in 5th was Diceus, who was well beaten on that occasion. He also went on to win at the Paddy Power Festival as well, winning a competitive 10-runner 2-mile handicap quite readily. So filtering all the way down the field, horses that have come out of that race have given that form a massive boost. So even though the handicap has slightly intervene with Sandra Hughes's charge. Certainly might not have done enough to dent this horse's chances from going in again. He's certainly got a nice light weight, and you'd expect him to be competitive once again in and around the 9-2 mark. He looks a fair each way bet. Bright New Dawn's a horse that I do like, but he's just a frustrating type to win with. He's top of my figures on 2 or 3 runs. They come courtesy of all those good races in graded contests last year, Punchestown, Leopardstown, etc. And another bad run the other day down in Navan when, of course, he was second to a very smart horse in Felix Younger. So I think he's probably a worthy favourite, but Neilin Ahmed, certainly nothing wrong with his form last time out, and hopefully he'll run another solid race.
Next up is the 250, a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And once again, some pretty smart types here, Andy. McKinley heads affairs for Willie Mullins. David Mullins takes the ride on this one. But there's been money this morning for the Henry de Bromhead charge. Alizier Dialonde, who is a horse that certainly looks like he's going to make a very, very nice chaser. There's some other nice types in here as well, the likes of Never Enough Time and Westerner's Son, the former there returning from a healthy layoff, so may just be needing this one. It looks between the top two in the betting, Andy, but which one do you prefer?
I'll probably go with Alizier Dialonde here and take a chance at Henry de Bromhead, like he does on many occasions, has got one ready first time out to do itself justice over the larger obstacles. And very much according to a lot of horses in his stable, this is basically what this horse has been bred to do and looked like he's been ready to do for quite some time. Of course, this horse previously with Philip Hobbs had a decent level of form over in this country, of course, having finished third in a decent at Maidenhurdle at Ascot and was well fancied in a grade two race at Warwick. But he looked the part when he went over to Ireland, of course, had his first run for Henry 4 months after joining the yard. And he couldn't have been any more impressive. OK, it was a lowly graded race at Thurles, but he bounded to the front, and I think letting him rock and roll from the front is the key to this horse because he is a free-going type. And fences very much should be his cup of tea. He reminds very much of me of a horse that Henry de Bromhead has already won a similar race to this with in the shape of Doomsday Book. They, of course, both run in the Roger Brookhouse colours, and they're both thick-set, powerful, front-running, bold, jumping chasers in the making. So being as though that horse won not so long ago, I think he won at Limerick over the Christmas period, it wouldn't surprise me if this horse follows suit. In general, the yard is still in good form. Of course, Hurry Henry won from the other day at Nace, and we've seen the likes of Mick Tonic, Sizing Kadalka, and of course, Attribution at Chase Home at Min, and not to mention Identity Thief's run behind Nichols Canyon. So the yard's in great form, and hopefully the horse will jump a clear round first time out. And if that's the case, he certainly could make McKinley the favourite at pull out all the stops.
OK, next up is the 320. It's the penultimate race on the card, and it's a novice's chase over 2.5 miles. Looks like JP McManus has a pretty strong hand here, because at the time of recording, he's got 3-1 joint favourites. He's got Malbrook and People's Park. People's Park on the drift this morning. Barry Geraghty takes the ride on that one. It's Mark Walsh on Malbrook. Not solely between those two, though. There are some pretty nice types in behind. The Winkler's been very consistent without getting his head in front. Balnagan Boy's been running well, and Tushan comes over off the back of a win as well. It's actually a fairly competitive race. It's just a shame that we don't have an extra runner here, Andy.
Yeah, it is really. The seven-runner race is never the most appetising for punters when you're looking, of course, to back something each way. And that's a shame, really, because the one I do like here is around about a 5-1 shot in the shape of Balnagan Boy. And, if there was an extra run, I think it would be a good each-way bet. As it is, still think he's not a bad win-only proposition at 5-1. Given that I think his form certainly is at equal, if not better than some of these that maybe have been chalked up a little bit shorter than him in the market. I think there's a little bit of snobbery here with one or two of the bookmakers that have put him in third or even fourth favourite. Certainly think that run when he beat a useful field over this course early on in the season in November, he's not a bad shout at all in comparison to this race, but he stayed in well to beat Army All You Need and Indian File. OK, he got beat the next day, but just in terms for one reason or another, he had a cut at his fences as well as he did when he won at Fairhouse. And it might have been that he was going left-handed that didn't really aid him in the jumping department. He was sort of putting down and he wasn't really taking off when Andrew Lynch was asking him to. But as I said, most of his best form, A, he's going left-handed, but more importantly here at Fairhouse, where he's got a fantastic record. On the two occasions he's shipped up here on soft or heavy ground, he's won both times. So returning to his favourite track, stepping up to a distance which should play more into his strengths anyway. I think Balgan on Boy certainly can outrun his price here and give us a decent run for our money.
Okay, the final race is a bumper over 2 miles, and the market has it between two here, Andy. Sutton Place and Greco-Roman, the latter making the making his debut, I was going to say her, making his debut for Noel Mead and Nina Carberry, who we know have got a formidable record in races like this, but is on the drift this morning, which would probably lead you on to Sutton Place for Gordon Elliott, a horse who chased home a nice type on debut, and surely compensation can await here, Andy.
Yeah, it's a real eye-catching run by Sutton Place. Gordon Elliott had, I think he had four horses involved in that race, and the two big eye-catchers were the ones that finished third and fifth, respectively. Now, the horse that finished fifth, West End Star, he's gone on to land a bit of a touch for connections in an easier race next time out at Down Royal. So you wouldn't put it past Gordon if Sutton Place was to follow suit here. Annabelle Fly was the winner of that race, certainly acquitted himself with a good deal of credit behind Bells Hill the other day in a Grade 1. So that's the kind of standard of horse that Sutton Place is up against. Now, he's switching back here to a bumper, which, of course, trainers in Ireland tend to do. They tend to mix and match, for want of a better phrase. And I certainly don't see it as being a negative here. I do like him. He looks a nice, typical chasing type that will do better in time, very much according to how Gordon Elliott's horses are in their make and shape up, their shape and makeup. And with that experience that he's already garnered, you'd like to think that might just be enough to beat Greco-Roman, of course, who we don't know a great deal about, but we have to respect also because he comes from a powerful stable, as you quite rightly pointed out, Alex, from the Noel Mead stable. There doesn't appear to be too many other horses fancied in the race. This looks quite a weak affair for the track standards, and Sutton Place has certainly shown enough on his debut to suggest he's equally easily capable of winning a race like this.
OK. Sutton Place, then, the selection in the Lucky Last. Great stuff, Andy. Best luck with your selections at Fairy House on Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.